So we're going to continue looking at destiny. We've looked at corporate inheritance, but we all individually have a destiny, a birthright, a calling, a purpose. And God has designed us with a redemptive gift to enable us to outwork and fulfill that purpose. And he's given us an identity, sonship. But because of what happened with Adam and Eve, we lost that identity and were separated from God, and our spirit was separated from God in death. Although it wasn't physical death, it was spiritual death. We there became on a journey. In Genesis chapter 3, there was a prophecy, the first prophecy in the Bible, saying that in the seed of the woman, which was Christ, there would be salvation. But in the seed of Satan, there would be opposition. And those two seeds have been fighting ever since. And so we are on a journey to come from slavery, being rejected and separated from God, and into our full inheritance as the children of God, as full mature sons. But there's a process, and we start off as babies, and we go from to infants, and then we go into maturity. Romans 8:29 says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined." So that's us. He predestined us. We have a destiny already agreed with him before the foundation of the world to be conformed. Now, to be conformed means to be in a process of change and transformation into the likeness of his son, Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So God wants Jesus to have many brothers, male and female, to inherit the fullness of what the kingdom is. It is my destiny to be his son. It's your destiny to be his son. The question is, do I feel, think, and act like a son? Because it's all very well knowing something in theory, but am I outworking it in practice in my life? And last week we looked at, who am I? What is my identity? Son of God, loved, accepted, affirmed by my heavenly Father. The problem is our earthly relationships, or not, with our own fathers, whether we had one, didn't have one, can be a major stumbling block and an obstacle to truly knowing who we are. And God wants to do something about that. He wants to deal with the relationships that we've had that have modeled something different other than what God intended us to have, a relationship of intimacy knowing God. And I know it can be really hard. Some people may have not had a father at all. They never had a father. Some people may have had a father who wasn't there emotionally. Mine wasn't there for me emotionally, although physically was there. Some people may have had a father who actually seemed pretty good. But the reality is, none of those fathers matched up to God. And it sometimes can be quite difficult to acknowledge and to own that. And to say, actually, my issues with God can stem from my relationships with others. And therefore, we need to be willing to actually deal with those things. God wants to embrace us, and he wants to reveal himself to us as Father. Now, if something's in the way of that, it is going to stop us knowing who we are. And we need to be willing to allow him to heal our father wounds, or mother wounds, or relationship wounds that stop us having a personal, intimate relationship with God. See, we can project onto many different people the problems we have in our relationships. And God wants us to restore and be restored in those relationships with him. 1 Corinthians 10:11, and it's talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and going into their promised land inheritance. And it says, "These things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction on whom the ends of the ages have come." So we need to learn from what happened to them. And they were on a journey from slavery to sonship, and we can learn from that. They were on a journey of restoration, because originally Adam was given a mandate, Noah was given a mandate, Abraham was given a mandate to bring the kingdom to the earth and see the earth transformed into what it was supposed to be from heaven. They were all called to do that. Abraham passed that on to his son, and then his son, Isaac, to Jacob. And then what happened? Jacob ended up in slavery, or his generation did. They were okay to start with Joseph in Egypt, But then after many generations, they were slaves. And that was their journey, and it's also our journey. We may have generational slavery in our family. We may have no Christian heritage. Some of us may have a Christian heritage. That's really good. But God wants us to come into something new. That journey is from a slavery mentality to a mentality of royalty, an identity as sons of the King. Now that is so different from what we've had before. It doesn't matter how good our earthly relationships and families are and everything else, none of us have actually been a son of a king in a natural sense. I'm assuming none of us have. Looking around, don't think any of you have. Didn't see any crowns. But the reality is, we need to know what it is to be a son of a king, the king. And therefore, what does it mean to live as a son of the king? Knowing all that the king has and knowing that that belongs to us. There is both blessing with that and responsibility that comes with it. You see, slaves own nothing. Slaves live in survival mode. Slaves have no hope. Slaves have no expectations. Slaves have a poverty mentality. And those characteristics is what God wants to deal with in us so that we can know the fullness of who we are and what we have in Him. So a spirit of slavery, or an orphan heart or spirit is another way of putting it, a poverty mindset or poverty thinking will stop us being who God created us to be. Our mind will stop us fully engaging in who we really are. Because if you're a slave and an orphan with a poverty mindset, it shows a lack of trust and relationship. Always a problem with trust and relationship when you come from that perspective. See, children of Israel knew God's works. They saw some of the things He did, but they did not know His ways. So they didn't or couldn't trust Him. And you see that over and over again in their journey out of Egypt through to the Promised Land and beyond. They didn't trust Him. Why? Because they still thought like they were slaves. They were set free from Egypt, but they still kept thinking like they did when they were slaves. And it's true for all of us. We are set free from slavery to sin and slavery to a world system that is there to keep us and rob us of our inheritance, brought into the revelation of who we are as God's children. But sometimes it's a real struggle to trust and to enter into a deeper relationship with God. Every time the children of Israel face an obstacle, they blame God, or Moses, or mostly both. They were motivated by fear. So at the Red Sea, it was like, oh, you've brought us out of Egypt, now we're all going to die. So we might as well go back. They got into the mountain when God came down, and it was like, Moses, you go, because we're too afraid to go there. You know, whenever they're in the desert, there are obstacles, no water, no food, they kept on grumbling and complaining because they didn't know and trust God to be their deliverer and their provider, and therefore they struggled with Moses as well, who was representing God to them. And authority figures always are obstacles for people if they think like a slave, because they think they're being robbed by people in authority, when the people in authority are there to release them into sonship. See, Moses had a destiny. The enemy tried to destroy that destiny by wiping out a generation of children. Same thing he did to Jesus. Moses tried to fulfill his destiny independently from God. He tried to do it his way. Moses tried to use his own natural resources and strength to fulfill what he'd been called to do, which he knew in his heart. Moses is rejected. He was rejected by his own people. Moses runs and hides from his destiny. And many of us have done similar things because we didn't know who we were. And as we look into some of the life of Moses today, hopefully you can see some of the things that may reflect in your own life. Acts 7:23 describes Moses. It says, when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered into his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. Where did that come from, do you think? I think it was God causing him to look deeper into who he was and where he came from to start to outwork what he was called to do. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance. So he decided he was going to do this in his own strength. For the oppressed, by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. Many people don't understand who we are. They don't understand our destiny. Many people will get in the way and trying to hinder and block us of what we're called to do. But Moses, unfortunately, saw something of what God had called him to do and tried to do it his own way independently from God. And many of us are trying to actually make our way in life and do the things to make us feel accepted and loved and approved of and valued in our own way, in our own strength, independently from God. It always leads into problems. Verse 26, on the following day, he appeared to them as they were fighting together. And he tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, men, you are brethren. Why do you injure one another? But the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? You do not mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday, do you? At this remark, Moses fled. How many obstacles have we received in our life from people? How many rejections have we had? Have we fled from what we knew that was in our heart because something difficult happened? And we've got to look at why we're in the situations we are and look what caused that. Because every one of us has deep in our hearts a destiny from God. When God started to reveal that to us and draw us to that destiny, many of us tried to do it in our own way and messed up. Verse 30, after 40 years had passed, so there's 40 years Moses spent in Egypt, came to who he was and his destiny, and then 40 years he ran from that and hid in the desert. And then God says, right, okay, you've had enough training in the desert. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in the flame of a burning thorn bush. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and as he approached to look more closely, there came the voice of the Lord. What did God say? What he said was, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He reminded him of where his heritage and his destiny came from, the calling to bring blessing to the whole earth. He reminded him of who he was, what his calling was. Moses shook with fear and would not venture to look. Now, you can apply that in this. This was a pretty amazing sight. An angel, a voice of God, a flaming bush. But actually, he may have shook with fear because of it exposed who he was and how he thought about himself. Moses was an orphan. He was adopted by the Egyptian royal court. He was adopted effectively by an enemy system. He was a prince in that system. And many of us have tried to succeed in the world system and have been quite successful. But it will never, ever satisfy eternal destiny. And it didn't for Moses, because when he was 40, all of a sudden a yearning started to come. Things started to come into his mind where God was saying, you do not belong here. This is not what I've intended for you, to live in this system. And he called him to embrace what his destiny was. Moses had that destiny but tried to do it his own way, and he runs. Now, the wilderness prepared Moses for his future. God calls Moses to his destiny again. Now, Moses' natural identity was shepherd. He looked after sheep in the wilderness for 40 years. So he was prepared for a bunch of honorary creatures, because sheep do not go where you want them to go very often. They're awkward. So he was being prepared for a bunch of honorary people who wouldn't go where they were supposed to go and cause trouble. So he should have known what was coming. But his identity as a shepherd, a natural shepherd, when he met God at the burning bush, God took something. Moses was given a new supernatural shepherd identity there. Moses' destiny was restored. Moses' identity was now given to him by God as deliverer for a nation. No longer shepherd, no longer slave, no longer orphan, no longer in a system of the world, but a new identity. But Moses had issues. We tend to look at Old Testament people and great people like Moses and Abram. He had issues. You know, imagine what it was like for him growing up in Egypt, and he didn't look like they did. And he didn't fit like they did. And no doubt they would have told him, oh, we found you floating in a basket. Well, that's not much. What did he think he thought? Oh, my parents must have got rid of me, didn't want me. Now, fortunately, he had a sister who was a nursemaid who would have begun to tell him something different, perhaps. But he would have still felt awkward where he was. Moses' staff was a symbol of his identity as a shepherd. And when he met God, he had to lay down that symbol. And that symbol of his natural abilities was like the phrase we get by hook or by crook, comes from a shepherd having a staff with a crook on it who could do things by hooking and crooking things. That represented him doing things his own way in his own strength. Now, what did he do? He had to let go what that staff represented. That staff represented his financial welfare, his job, his well-being, and his future. He had a family. He worked for his father-in-law, looking after the sheep. That was his life. But then God interrupted and took him back to what his real destiny was. He had a choice. Lay down his natural staff and pick up a supernatural rod of God. Because the staff turned into something of a powerful symbol of the authority that God was giving him to do supernatural things. And if you look at in his life, he used that staff supernaturally in Egypt, where his staff swallowed up all the other rods and staffs of the Egyptian magicians. He did miracles. He parted the Red Sea. He did those things with that staff. But he had to choose to let go of the old and embrace the new. And we all get that choice. And even when we become Christians, we still get that choice as an ongoing choice. Am I going to do things my way or God's? Okay, have I got my fire insurance and I'm in going to heaven now, but I'll just carry on doing things my own way. It never works. You actually feel divided and separated because you've got one foot in one camp and one in the other. Never works. Tried that as a teenager, didn't work at all. Exodus 3:11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" Well, he started to reject God's suggestion of what he should do. Now, who was he? Well, he knew all about the court of Egypt because he lived there for 40 years. So actually, he was well placed to go to Pharaoh because he knew how it worked. He knew the system. So God was going to use his past experience. Nothing wrong in that. But he didn't want to. Moses tried to reject his destiny. Moses tried to criticize God's HR skills. He was chosen by God. And yet, he didn't want to do it. Why? Because he had issues. Like most of us have issues. Stuff from our past which is hindering our future and spoiling our present. God wants to deal with those issues. Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Now, I think that was a lie, because it says in the New Testament that Moses was powerful in speech. So he was, again, trying to get out of his destiny. Verse 12, Now then, go, and I, even I, will be with you with your mouth. I will teach you what you're to say. So this is God overcoming all his obstacles, all his objections, all the things that says, no, you're not positioned for this. God says, yes, you are. I'm going to be with you. I'll teach you. And even after that, he says, please, Lord, send the message by somebody else. Now, God is calling out each of us to embrace who we are and what he's called us to do. Moses had issues. Most of us have issues. God wants to deal with those issues. He wants to set us free from the mindsets, the way of thinking, the slavery mentality, so that we can truly know who we are as his sons. Acts 7:35. This Moses, whom they disowned, how many of us have felt disowned? Disowned by maybe people, parents, friends, relationships. Disowned. Moses felt disowned. That was his big problem. Who made you a ruler and judge? That's who he was, and yet he's the one who God sent to be both a ruler and a deliverer with the help of the angel. So this angel who turns up at the burning bush is then assigned to him to help him for the rest of his life. We've all got angels assigned to us to help us fulfill our destiny. That angel was a big help. Big pillar of fire, big pillar of cloud, did lots of good things. God has assigned things for us supernaturally. And then, as a result of that, verse 36, this man led them out, performing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years, he actually was doing miracles with that staff until one day he angered God by doing something again in his own strength and missed out on his destiny of going into the promised land. Because he did something out of the issues that he had. The issues of insecurity. God does not want us to miss out on going into our full inheritance because of the issues in our life. He wants us to deal with them. Numbers 14:2. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation of them said, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and return to Egypt. They'd seen God come down on a mountain. They'd seen the Red Sea part. They'd seen supernatural provision of clothes not wearing out, of sandals not wearing out, of food provided to them every day. When their bread wasn't enough and they complained, God provided quails that they could eat. Everything they'd seen, all that Moses had done, bringing water out of a rock and all those things, and yet they still actually felt like slaves. And they wanted to go back to the comfort, which is, hey, I don't think that's much comfort, but for them in their mindset, it seemed better to go back to Egypt than actually go in and possess their inheritance. God does not want us to do the same thing. The people continually rejected Moses' authority and grumbled and complained. That hit into his insecurity issues of needing their affirmation because they continually disowned him. That caused him to be angry and hit the rock with his staff rather than speak to it, which was another dimension of the supernatural that God was going to bring him into. He went back to his familiar and hit the rock. And he missed out on his inheritance. And after that point, there is no record of Moses ever doing a miracle again. So we can see all these things. We can have amazing encounters for God and yet miss out on the fullness of our inheritance if we do not allow God to heal us and restore us of our issues and stuff. Moses allowed his issues of insecurity, needing the acceptance and the approval of people, to rob him of his full destiny. That's a sad thing. Don't allow that to happen to your life. Don't be robbed of the fullness of who God has called you to be and what he's called you to do because of those things. Those people had issues themselves. Because Moses did, he led them into their own issues. Numbers 13:31. The men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they're too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report. So they came to the point where they could have entered into a new dimension, and they gave bad reports to stop the people going in. What identity were they acting out of? Slaves or sons? Slaves, I believe. They saw their home as Egypt and not the promised land. How sad. They were acting like orphans and not sons. That slavery orphan mentality will stop us possessing our inheritance and our destiny. God wants to deal with it in us. Are you, as an individual, looking at your past, or are you looking to the future? Because whichever place you're looking to will determine where you're going to go. Moses had insecurity issues. Moses had identity issues. Moses had an orphan spirit. Moses led a people who had identity issues, who operated in an orphan spirit, who had a slavery mentality. Recipe for trouble. And there was. Malachi 4:6, he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. God's desire is to turn us back to our Father in heaven, to turn our hearts back to him, to see that his heart is for us. It is his desire in this generation, because we have a whole fatherless generation in our land and in the world, because the enemy has chosen to try and ruin people's destiny by messing up families and everything else. Acts 7:39 says, our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but repudiated him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. You may not physically turn back to your past, but in your heart you can turn back. And if in your heart you've turned back, then you're never going to be able to fulfill what God has got for you in the future. So we need to deal with the things that are in our hearts. See, they were generations of slaves. They had no understanding of freedom. They had no understanding of godly leadership, because they were just told to do what the taskmasters told them to do. They had no connection to God as Father. They lost sight of their covenant family identity from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they continually look back to the familiar comfort of the old life. I don't want anyone here to do that, to miss out on what God's called them to do. See, they had no sense of belonging, no sense of heritage, no sense of purpose. They had riches because they came out with 400 years worth of wages in gold from Egypt, and yet they had no wealth. Because money without an understanding of wealth and identity does not work. Money does not bring us happiness. Money does not bring us fulfillment. So you can have lots of money and still have no fulfillment in life. No loyalty. They were not loyal to God. They were not loyal to Moses because of their orphan heart. No faith or trust in God. And they all died in the wilderness, including Moses. Except Joshua and Caleb, who had a different spirit, who had a different relationship with God, who knew God as Father and entered in and took another generation in. That's what God is calling us to do. Question is, do I have an orphan spirit? And I want you to ask seriously this question. Orphans have no parents. Do you feel isolated from God? Orphans have no inheritance. Orphans have no home. So many people are searching desperately for a home. Not a physical home, but a spiritual home. And they're trying all sorts of things and places to give them that home. God wants you to have it in him. Orphans have no connection to heritage. Orphans think like slaves. God wants us to think like sons. So, ask yourself this question. Do I think like a son or a slave? And it's not black and white. There's a lot of in the middle. Some I think like a son. Sometimes I think like a slave, and we're going to look into what those thought patterns are and how they apply to our life next week. Do I act like a son or a slave? Do I identify with slavery or sonship? Do I know my identity as a son? Do I know my royal identity as a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? God wants me to know all those things. God wants to heal your father or mother wounds. And other relationship wounds. He wants to heal them. He wants to remove the scars that are on your life that are stopping you. God wants you to have a home in him. And he wants to have a home in you. God wants you to know that you're accepted, you're adopted in his family, that you're loved. We started looking at this last week into ministry, into it. God wants to do more. God wants you to know and fulfill your destiny. Question is, will you allow God to be your father? Or will you allow your earthly father or other relationships to rob you with that intimacy? Will you trust him with your heart? And it's a serious question. When our heart has been damaged, when we've been betrayed, disappointed, let down, hurt, to trust God with our heart is not a simple step. It's a choice. And it's a choice that comes with risk, because you have to risk your heart being hurt and damaged again. God will never damage it or hurt it, but our mindsets can put that into our minds. Will you allow him to deliver you from an orphan spirit? Because God wants to minister that deliverance to us. Will you lay down your old natural identity? Will you pick up your new supernatural identity? If you will, and if you want to do those things, then we're going to minister into that now. And encourage anyone who wants to let go of those things to stand. And we're going to say some declarations together. If you don't want to do those things, don't stand. Okay? Please don't do it if you don't mean it. We're going to say some declarations together, and then God is going to minister to us and speak to us in our hearts. So if you want to embrace who you are as God's children and into sonship, then stand. If you don't, then fine, that's okay. So let's say these statements together, but mean them in your heart. Don't just repeat it, but mean it in your heart, because you're making a choice now. A serious choice. Let's say this out together if you mean it. I choose to lay down my old identity as an orphan and slave. I choose to turn away from my past. I choose to forgive and release my earthly father for not representing true fatherhood to me. I choose to look to my heavenly father for my acceptance. I choose to let go of rejection, fear, and insecurity. I choose to embrace my destiny. I choose to give my heart to you, Father, afresh today. I choose to allow you to heal, deliver, and restore me. Now I want you to just close your eyes and just receive something that God's going to do right now. First of all, in the authority that you've released, I just loose each person here from an orphan spirit, from a spirit of slavery, and from a spirit of rejection. And I pray for the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to break those yokes, destroy those burdens, and loose people from the control of their mind and their emotion and their will from that orphan spirit and that spirit of slavery. I loose them from it in Jesus' name, in the power that Jesus is releasing here now. Under an open heaven, I bind each person to their full destinies in heaven and on earth as sons of God. Now I want you to keep your eyes closed, and I want with the eyes of your heart to see the wound and the scars that may be over your heart from the past. You may picture them, you just may sense that they're there. And I want you to hear the voice of Father God speaking to you and speaking to those wounded areas of your heart. And this is what God says to you. I love you, my child. I love you. I love you. I love you, my child. I love you. I love you. I love you, my child. I love you. I love you. I love you, my child. I love you. I love you. Just allow those words to heal those wounds and remove the scar tissue that may be on your heart. The words of love and acceptance and affirmation that he has for you. Just allow them to minister. Just release the angels, release the Holy Spirit's presence and power to bring that oil of healing, to heal the wounded hearts, Just receive the love of God. Receive the embrace as a father, as he embraces you now in love. He says to you, I accept you as my child. I affirm who you truly are. I call out your spiritual identity as my sons. I invest you with the authority as princes and princesses to subdue, rule, manifest my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Just receive that into your spirit. Let your spirit embrace and begin to expand and grow and mature. Let it fill your soul. Let it bring God's blessing into your life. Just receive who you are truly as sons of God. And allow God to continue that process of conforming you into his image that you're predestined to have done in your life, to be formed into the image of Jesus, sons of God, taking up the full responsibility of who you are in the heavens and on earth. God's desire is for you to know truly that you have a home, that you've been adopted, that you've been accepted and you've been loved. Now we're in a process right now, you can sit down. We're in a process where God is going to do this. As we worship, as we enter into that place of intimacy with God in worship, I encourage you, allow the Holy Spirit to continue ministering to your hearts. If you need someone to pray with you today, ask someone of the ministry team to pray with you.